Chapter 13. When Yadriel slipped back into his room, he found Julian lying on his bed. He was stretched out lazily like a jungle cat, one hand tucked behind his head. Burgaso was curled up on the windowsill, her tail slowly swaying like the pendulum of a clock. Julian stared out the glass. Lights blinked from the hills in the distance, beyond the cemetery walls. They were the closest thing they had to stars in the city. The garden of tombstones and mausoleums stretched out into the dark. Yadriel's old iPhone lay on the pillow next to Julian, the earbud right next to his ear. He tossed a balled-up piece of paper into the air and caught it over and over. When the door closed behind Yadriel with a click, Julian turned. His skin was bathed in a silvery glow. Yadriel wasn't sure if it was the moon sharing some of her light, or the effects of being a spirit. Julian watched him with silent regard, the ball of paper held in his hand. For the first time, Yadriel couldn't immediately tell what he was thinking by the look on his usually expressive face. "Listening to my shitty music?" Yadriel asked as he tugged off his hoodie and tossed it into the closet. "Mmm," Julian hummed in reply. Yadriel removed his portaje and tucked the dagger into his backpack before sitting down on the edge of the bed. Looking down at Julian, he raised an eyebrow. "How is it?"
"Still shitty,"
Julian said, but a small grin tugged the corner of his lips, teasing a dimple. Yadriel exhaled a short laugh. When Julian shifted closer to the window, he lay down and tucked the other earbud into his own ear. A breathy voice sang softly through dreamy chords. Julian went back to tossing the paper ball in the air. Goosebumps trailed up Yadriel's arm where it rested closest to Julian. He sighed and closed his eyes, letting the music wind through his mind and ease the stress knotted in his body. The gentle sound of Julian catching the ball out of the air fell into time with a steady beat.
"It's sad,"
Julian said.
"It's not sad," Yadriel murmured.
"Just quiet." Though, he supposed that was why Julian didn't like it. It didn't appeal to his nature. The tossing stopped, and, for a long moment, they lay there listening. Yadriel's body felt heavy, like he was slinking into the bed as exhaustion coaxed him toward sleep. The blanket was soft under his fingers. Yadriel floated somewhere between the real world and a dream where Julian's voice called him back.
"I'm sorry."
"Hmm?"
"Earlier, for being an asshole."
Yadriel opened his eyes with effort and turned his head. Julian stared up at the ceiling, his brow furrowed as he turned the ball of paper over in his hands.
"I could lie and say it's because I'm a ghost, but I was never any good at controlling my temper when I was alive, either,"
he admitted, not looking at Yadriel when he spoke. Julian shifted awkwardly, waiting for his reply.
"Wow,"
Yadriel said.
"You don't do this often, do you?"
Julian finally turned to him with a frown.
"Do what?"
Yadriel grinned.
"Apologize."
"Tch,"
he hissed between his teeth.
"Man, screw you."
He threw the ball of paper at Yadriel, and it bounced off his forehead and landed on the bed between them.
I'm kidding,
Yadriel insisted, laughter shaking his words. Julian huffed, and Yadriel forced himself to swallow down the chuckles. A quiet moment stretched out, accompanied by the gentle flow of music.
"Why do you have to prove that you're a brujo? A guy? To them?"
Julian suddenly asked, scowling up at the ceiling. The question took Yadriel by surprise.
Julian was probably still thinking about what he'd heard during the sarcophagus incident.
Why do you have to prove anything to anyone?
Yadriel shifted uncomfortably.
It's just how it is, how it's always been. In order for them to let me be a brujo.
You don't need anyone's permission to be you, Yads, he cut in, frustration starting to edge his voice again. And Yadriel was getting irritated himself.
Because, I mean, you summoned me, so you have the brujo powers, right?
He went on. He picked up the balled up paper again and fiddled with it absentmindedly.
Like, is this lady deciding who counts as a man and who counts as a woman? What about non-binary people? Or intersex? Or agender?
Yadriel was surprised Julian even knew what those words meant.
I'm the first trans brujex, he tried to explain.
But Julian interrupted him with a sarcastic laugh.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Julian shook his head and rolled onto his side so he could properly look at Yadriel.
Nah, there's no way.
When Yadriel tried to argue, Julian cut him off.
There's no way y'all have been around for thousands of years without there being one person not fitting into the men are this, women are that bullshit.
Julian sounded so convinced, so sure. His obsidian eyes locked onto Yadriel's.
Maybe they hid it, or ran away, or I don't know, something else. But there's no way you're the first, Yads.
All Yadriel could do was stare at him. He didn't know what to say. He spent so much time feeling isolated. Convinced that he was a one-off. An outlier no one knew what to do with. He'd never considered that. Somewhere along the line, there had been other brujex like him. When he didn't respond, Julian flopped onto his back, pressing the paper ball between his palms.
Seems like the magic knows, right?
Julian thought out loud.
Or Lady Death does. Whatever makes those decisions. You did the ceremony, and you were able to summon me, right?
Yeah, Yadriel said, still hung up on the previous revelation. Julian nodded.
So, she gets it.
The corner of his lips pulled into a grin.
That's pretty cool.
Yadriel looked across at his statue of Lady Death on his altar. Of course she knew. She saw who Yadriel really was. She'd made that clear when she blessed him with his portaje. But he hadn't considered that there was an entirely lost history of brujex like him. Julian was right. It seemed obvious now. There was no way he was the first. And he wouldn't be the last.
So? Julian prompted again. Why isn't that enough?
It won't be enough for the rest of the brujex, Yadriel pushed back. They'll need more proof.
Not good enough for them? Or not good enough for you?
Julian asked, finally looking over at him. The question struck him in the chest. It's complicated.
Because, and I'm not trying to back out of our deal here, but if this is just to prove yourself to them,
they're my family.
Well, screw them. If they're making you go through all this crap,
Julian snapped. Yadriel was caught between wanting to defend his family and appreciating what Julian was trying to say. Mostly, he was tired and frustrated. He was tired of fighting, on all fronts. It's not that simple.
I mean, Flaca isn't any less of a girl just because other people look at her and don't see her as one,
Julian went on.
Just because she's not on hormones or whatever, or because she's not passing, doesn't mean other people get to decide who she is.
and the same goes for you.
Heat bloomed in Yadriel's cheeks.
You don't owe anybody shit, Julian told him, stormy anger brewing behind dark eyes. He was kind of an asshole. Julian was abrasive, sometimes rude, and didn't seem to have much tact. But, for some reason, Yadriel's heart still fluttered in his chest.
He blinked at Julian, not knowing what to say. It seemed way too easy, way too idyllic. Things didn't just work like that in the real world. It wasn't enough to have summoned Julian, to have been bound to his portaje, or for Lady Death's blessing to flow through him with its golden light. He needed to do everything the men could do before asking the Brujex to accept him into the community. He couldn't leave any gaps for them to question. He loved his family, and the worst possible thing would be for them to shun him entirely. He saw how they treated him, and Tio Catriz. If they found out what Yadriel was up to, before he was able to successfully release a spirit, he was worried they, including his dad, would cast him out for good. But how could he explain that to Julian? I kind of wish I could trade my family for yours, Yadriel said with a weak laugh. They weren't even blood, but in the short time he'd interacted with them, he could see how fiercely they cared for one another. Especially Julian.
I wouldn't trade them for the world, Julian said solidly.
Yadriel smiled. He envied whoever Julian gave his fiery devotion to. It was a warm and unyielding force to be shielded by.
They seem nice.
Julian gave him a withering look. Okay, so maybe he hadn't seen much friendliness, except from Luca.
Well, Omar seems kinda intense, Yadriel conceded.
He is.
Julian grinned affectionately, toying with the end of Burcaso's flicking tail. Yadriel thought about all the rumors Maritza's friends had said at school, and Julian's intense reaction.
Is he, you know, in a gang?
His eyes snapped to Yadriel.
What?
Clearly a misstep. Yadriel tried to backpedal.
A former gang member?
Julian's laugh was sharp. No!
He traced shapes onto the window pane with his finger. Casually, he added.
But Luca was.
It was Yadriel's turn to balk.
What? Luca?
His mind spun. The sweet boy with the shy smile? It didn't add up.
But he's so...
He doesn't fit.
Course he does, Julian said impatiently. They steer clear of Omar. Wouldn't be able to pull him in without an all-out fight. Too much work. But Luca?
Julian shook his head in that frustrated way parents did when their kids did something stupid.
You saw him? He's like a puppy. Just wants to fit in and for people to like him. He'd do anything to feel like part of a family. He's easy prey for gangs.
Julian sounded annoyed. Angry, even. But Yadriel wasn't sure if it was with Luca, or the ones who had taken advantage of him. Probably both.
His parents don't give a shit about him,
Julian continued, his lip curling in distaste.
Most of the time, they don't even notice if he's home. And when they do, they treat him like garbage. They make him sleep outside for any damn thing, like leaving a dirty dish in the sink. His piece of shit dad used to use his arm like an ashtray.
Julian's anger was palpable, like an electric storm in the air around him.
He didn't show up for picture day because he had a black eye.
Yadriel's stomach gave a sickened lurch.
Jesus.
He understood Julian's anger. He'd only met Luca a few hours ago, and the thought of someone causing him harm made his blood boil.
He got sucked into one as soon as he started high school, Julian continued. We didn't see him for weeks, and his parents didn't care. One less thing for them to worry about, I guess. By the time we tracked him down, he was living in a drug den and had gotten branded with tattoos. Julian ran a finger along the side of his face. Yadriel remembered Luca's scar. What happened? He asked, knowing the answer would be ugly. My brother Rio. Julian's expression softened just a touch. He'd been in the same gang when he was our age. He went and got Luca, which is not easy. Julian shrugged. I never asked how he managed it. Maybe they owed him or something. I don't know. But you don't get to just leave. When Rio brought Luca home, they'd burned all his tattoos off. Yadriel sucked in a breath, and Julian must have heard it because he added, usually, it's blood in, blood out. So it was a better alternative. Yadriel involuntarily cringed. That was a sort of pain he couldn't even begin to imagine. Even just getting a burn from the oven was nearly unbearable. Rio's got the same kind of scars on his arm. Luca was laid up on our couch for weeks. It was like if he wasn't sleeping, he was just moaning in pain, Julian said, wincing as if he could still hear it in his head. Why didn't you take him to a hospital? No health insurance. Luca got real sick. We did everything we could, but it still got infected. He got a fever. My brother heard about this lady who did, like, natural healing stuff. You know, weird herbs that smell terrible. Made him drink stuff that looked like dishwater. After a few days, he felt better. His scar looks way better than Rio's now. Whatever she did, worked. I wonder if it was a bruja, Yadriel said. Julian looked over at him. You think? Yadriel shrugged. Kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? If he was in that bad of shape and she healed him that quickly? It definitely seemed in the realm of possibility. So there's witches out there who can heal people like that? He snapped his fingers. And they're just handing out favors to poor folks? Well, some of them are doctors, Yadriel explained. Maritza's sister, Paola, is in medical school right now. Isn't that cheating? Julian frowned. Yadriel scowled, feeling suddenly defensive. Does it matter if they're still helping people? Julian jutted his chin and shrugged. Anyway, we have to afford to live, somehow, so they get jobs where they can use their healing. And, like you said, some of them run little businesses right out of their homes and disguise it as naturopathy. That's what my mom did. Yadriel's eyes slid over to the framed photo of his mom. It was cast in shadows, but he could still make out her white teeth and big smile. Sometimes she wouldn't even take payment either, even though it cost her every time she healed. Ah, right. Bigger tasks take more magic. Y'all only have so much to tap into, yada, yada, yada. Julian nodded, recalling their conversation from the other day. Yadriel's stomach twisted. His mouth was dry, like his tongue was stuck to the roof of his mouth. And if you use too much, you can die, he said, refusing to look at Julian when he said it. Yadriel could practically hear Julian's brain buzzing with a slew of questions, so he cut him off at the pass. And some people aren't born with much, or any, he plowed on. Like my uncle Catrice. Tall guy with a big nose, gauged ears, and man bun? Julian asked. Yadriel scowled. It's not a man bun, he snapped defensively. Wearing your hair long and having stone plugs in your ears like that is very traditional. Julian smirked, and Yadriel rolled his eyes. Anyways, even though we're from a powerful line of Brujex, going back to even before the great Aztecs and Maya, his magic is so weak, he can only see and sense spirits, Yadriel explained. He can't perform the other tasks of the Brujos. They call it dilución de la magia, which means the dilution of magic. Yeah, I know, Julian interrupted. I told you, I speak Spanish. Well, my tío is an outcast like me, Yadriel went on. I mean, Maritza chooses to not be a bruja, but me and my uncle weren't given that choice. He shrugged. He gets me, and he has my back, Yadriel said, remembering how Catriz had stood up for Yadriel earlier, how he'd tried talking sense to his dad. Even though it hadn't worked, Yadriel was deeply thankful he'd even tried. He owed his tío big time for that. Well, at least your family is more accepting than Flacas, Julian said, following his own train of thought. She's trans, but she's a throwaway. Throwaway? Yadriel repeated, trying to regather his thoughts. He'd noticed, or assumed, Flaca was trans, but he didn't know what throwaway meant. Yeah, her parents kicked her out when she told them. He glowered up at the ceiling. Throwaway. It was rough at first. She didn't have anywhere to go, so she stayed with us a lot. But now she's got some distant relatives. A cousin, I think, that she's crashing with. Most of the time, anyways. What about Rocky and Omar? Yadriel asked. If they're hiding out at the underpass because they're scared, aren't their parents worried? Rocky's in a group home, Julian said, as if that explained everything. Not all foster homes are bad, Yadriel felt compelled to argue. One of his cousins and her husband were foster parents who had taken in a little girl. Kids get adopted to nice families all the time. Being in a group home is not the same as being with a foster family, Julian told him. It's just a big house run by the state. Rocky hates it there. Too many kids, not enough beds, and some of them are real assholes. Julian heaved a deep sigh. Whenever she needed a break, Rio let her crash at our place. Same goes for Flaca and Luca. Like I said, doesn't even ask questions, just drags another blanket out of the closet. His expression softened. It's a doggy-dog world out there, Julian sighed. The corner of Yadriel's mouth twitched. Dog, eat, dog. Whatever. What about Omar? Omar's the best of us, he laughed. Definitely the smartest one in the group. Good grades. Usually the one keeping the rest of us from getting into too much trouble. He's the only one who's got parents that actually like him, Julian said. But they got deported. Yadriel cringed. He thought of the Brujex who had been taken away. It left a hole in their community, a pain that ached through multiple families and generations. Yadriel hated himself a little for judging Omar so quickly. But Omar was born here, so he didn't have to go with them. He wanted to, but they wouldn't let him, Julian explained. They sacrificed everything to get to the U.S. and make sure Omar had a better life than them, you know? It's messed up, man. He shook his head slowly. Rio said Omar could live with us, even though we don't have much space. His parents try to call as often as they can, but... Julian shrugged. He puts on a front, acts like shit doesn't bother him, but I can tell it does. FaceTime isn't the same as having your parents here with you. Yadriel knew that all too well. The way Julian said it made it clear he knew from personal experience, too. Do you mind if I ask what happened to your dad? Yadriel asked.
Got shot. The muscles in Julian's jaw clenched. Stray bullet from a drive-by. Wrong place, wrong time. He got me that necklace when I was younger.
He motioned to the St. Jude medal where it rested on the dip of Yadriel's throat. Yadriel traced his fingers over it.
You know, lost cause and all that. He grinned like it was an inside joke.
And your mom? Yadriel asked, dragging his thumbnail across the engraved letters. His question chased off Julian's smile.
She and my dad met in Colombia and moved here before my brother was born. But after she had me, my mom ran off. Dad never heard from her again.
Julian shifted.
My life sounds pretty boring compared to all those rumors. I think I like the Sicarios on the Run story way better,
he smirked. I'm sorry about your mom, Yadriel said. But Julian didn't seem too bothered about it. Julian shrugged.
Can't miss someone you never knew, right?
Yadriel supposed he had a point.
Sounds like Rio really takes care of you guys.
Julian shrugged before simply saying,
We're family.
He's got to be worried sick about you, Yadriel gently nudged.
Yeah, well.
Julian tucked his hands under the back of his head.
We had a huge fight a few days ago, so I left. Told him I wasn't coming back.
A deep crease pressed between his eyebrows.
And then I went and got myself killed, so. He's put up with enough shit because of me,
he added with a shake of his head.
He was only 20 years old when my dad died. He stepped up to be my legal guardian, so I didn't get tossed into the system. But what 20-year-old guy wants to have to take care of his kid brother? And then to take in Omar on top of it?
Julian snorted.
He had to take a job at the mechanic business my dad and his friend owned. Carlos lets us stay in the little apartment above the shop. And Rio works for him to afford rent and groceries and stuff. He'll probably be able to afford a real place without me dragging him down.
Julian nudged Burcaso's paw where it rested on the windowsill. She let out a noise of sleepy indignation. Yadriel knew very little about Rio, but from what he'd heard, something told him Julian was completely wrong. He doubted his brother was better off with him gone.
What happened to your mom? Julian ventured.
It was an obvious question, one that Yadriel was surprised Julian hadn't asked already.
He must have really been holding himself back.
But that didn't mean he was going to give him the details.
Car accident,
he said curtly.
Julian frowned. Why didn't someone just heal her?
Yadriel's whole body tensed. His stomach twisted.
Or like, bring her back to life or something.
Julian scratched at his head.
Brujas can only heal you if your heart's still beating, Yadriel told him.
You have to be alive. And brujos haven't been able to bring people back to life since.
Julian sat bolt upright. Wait, y'all can really bring people back to life? I was joking.
Shh, Yadriel hissed.
Could.
We can't do it anymore. Like I told you. Dilution of powers over time.
Still,
he flopped back onto the bed, chuckling.
That's so badass.
Yeah, well, like I said, it required a lot of power.
So the people they brought back were like definitely zombies, right?
Yadriel groaned.
Not the zombies again. Evilly resurrecting someone from the dead can only lead to zombies. I know it. I read books,
Julian said.
Yadriel cocked an eyebrow. Okay. But I've seen enough movies to know how this goes down,
Julian corrected through barely suppressed chuckles. Yadriel scrubbed his hands down his face.
"You're impossible," he said, laughter jumping in his chest.
He tucked his hands behind his head and stared up at the ceiling.
"I kind of made a mess of things, huh?"
Yadriel said. He wasn't fishing for sympathy, just stating the obvious. Keeping secrets from his family, putting his foot in his mouth on more than one occasion, completely botching the conversation with Julian's friends. More sneaking, more lies. He was in over his head.
"Yeah," Julian agreed very matter-of-factly, not malicious or even teasing. "But now your mess is my mess, too."
He tilted his head toward Yadriel and spoke softly.
"It's bound to be easier if we're both cleaning it up, right?"
The dimples of his tired smile made Yadriel lightheaded. For the first time in a very long time, he didn't feel like a lost cause. It was nice to have someone to talk to about this stuff. He had his tío and Maritza, of course, but there were still degrees of separation between their experiences. When he came out, there was a lot of legwork and explaining to his tío and Maritza about who he was. It took time and a lot of emotional work on Yadriel's part. But with Julian, there was no training involved because he already understood him. It was easy. Yadriel hadn't known it could be that painless and simple for someone to see him as he was. For a moment, they both lay there, quiet laughter mingling with the soft music playing from the iPhone. Julian let out a heavy, annoyed sigh.
"So, I guess I give in."
"Give in to what?"
"We can go see Rio tomorrow."
Yadriel turned to look at him. He didn't look very pleased.
"Really?" "Only to see if he knows anything, if the cops called him or whatever, and to grab one of my shirts," Julian said firmly. "And just to..."
He trailed off.
"I don't know. Just to make sure he's okay before I leave."
Those last few words halted Yadriel's thoughts. Before he left. That's right. This was all so Yadriel could release Julian to the afterlife, where he would stay, because Julian was just a normal boy. When he crossed over, that would be that. He wasn't a brujo. There would be no ofrenda to welcome him back during Día de Muertos. For Julian, death was finite. When his dad died, he didn't get to see him again. And now, Julian's friends and his brother would never see him again, either. "All things considered," Yadriel ventured, "you're taking this whole being dead thing pretty well." Julian exhaled a small laugh.
"I don't know. I never expected to live that long anyways," he confessed.
Yadriel didn't know what to say. There was something so profoundly sad in how casually he said it.
"But I was thinking more like 30. Never really pictured myself older than that," he explained. 16 minus a couple weeks seems a bit young."
His lips tilted into a crooked smile.
"The ghost part was definitely a surprise."
Julian rolled onto his side, propping the side of his face in his hand.
"Can I possess you?"
A surprised laugh bucked in Yadriel's chest.
"No, you're thinking demons." "I mean, it's getting closer to Día de Muertos, right?" "You said us dead folks get stronger around then."
Julian leaned over him, eyes narrowed, his face only a few inches away. Yadriel could see the faint shadow along his jaw. There was a tiny scar on his right eyebrow.
"If I concentrate really hard,"
his finger hovered above Yadriel,
"could I touch you?"
Heat flooded Yadriel's face, His chest fluttered dangerously.
I don't think so, Jules.
A shaky laugh quaked his words. Dimples cut deep into Julian's cheeks. He dipped his head to the side.
Why not?
Not enough brain power. Julian's laugh was open and unabashed.
Shh! Stop! He ordered through his chuckles. I'm concentrating!
He shook out his hand before hovering it over Yadriel again. Julian's face scrunched up, lips parted. Yadriel held his breath. His fingers knotted into the blanket under him. A thrill tickled down his spine to the tips of his toes. It was disorienting, filling his head with dangerous thoughts. He wanted to feel Julian's hands ghosting over his skin. Wondered what Julian's short hair would feel like under his fingertips. What his skin would smell like. Or if his lips felt as soft as they looked. But it was silly and stupid. Because you couldn't touch dead boys, and they couldn't touch you back. Julian lowered his hand, and for a moment, nothing happened. See? Yadriel exhaled. The yearning ache devoured the hope in his chest. You... But then he felt it. The shiver of the metal against his throat. The brush of an, admittedly cold, finger across his skin. Yadriel sucked in a gasp and clamped his hand over his neck. Julian jerked back.
Did you feel it?
He asked, eyes wide.
I did. Yes!
Julian's smile was brilliant. They both broke out into laughter. The fluttery, half-delirious sort that made Yadriel feel a little drunk.
See?
Julian jutted his chin to a proud angle. Yadriel rolled his eyes.
Yeah, yeah. I told you, I...
But Julian never finished his sentence. For a second, he froze.
Jules.
Yadriel started to sit up. Julian sucked in a deep, rattling breath. He collapsed back onto the bed. Burcaso sprang from the window and darted out of sight. Yadriel pushed himself up. His heart hammered in his chest.
Hey, what's happening?
Julian's jaw went slack, his mouth open wide. His eyes rolled back into his head, and his entire body spasmed. No, it wasn't spasming. It was shaking. Vibrating. Julian flickered in and out of existence, like a light shorting out.
Jules!
Yadriel's hands hovered above him, not knowing what to do or what was happening. All he could do was watch as Julian's body flashed in and out of existence. It took him a moment to see the red stain on the chest of Julian's white shirt. It started as a dark smudge, but it slowly bloomed larger, appearing in flashes. More quivering, just a shadow of Julian. Then he disappeared and didn't come back. Yadriel's heart lodged in his throat.
Jules!
His eyes frantically searched the bed. Yadriel fumbled, pressing his hands against the mattress as if he could feel him there, that maybe Julian was just invisible. But he was gone. There was nothing. Not even a wash of cold against his fingers. Just as quickly as he'd vanished, Julian blinked back into existence. A gasp ripped through his throat and his eyes flew open. Yadriel sprang back, nearly falling off the bed. Julian sucked in breath, his hand clutching his shirt where the blood seeped. But then he started to fade. It was like someone had cranked down his saturation and opacity. Julian seemed duller now, his edges slightly more blurred than before. The red stain faded to nothing.
What? What the hell happened?
Julian heaved, breathless. Yadriel could only shake his head. What was that? Panic cracked his voice. Yadriel stared down at his hands. They trembled uncontrollably. I don't know.